I want to thank this phenomenal prosecution team embodying the finest traditions of this office: professionalism, integrity, dedication, and service. They are model public servants, and I am proud and humbled to serve side by side with them. The 12 everyday jurors vowed to make a decision based on the evidence and the law, and the evidence and the law alone. Their deliberations led them to a unanimous conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, Donald J. Trump, is guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree to conceal a scheme to corrupt the 2016 election. And while this defendant may be unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes through the courtroom doors, by following the facts and the law and doing so without fear or favor.
That was the voice of the district attorney in New York City, Alvin Bragg. Oh, there's no, you know, this is a free and fair trial. They followed the facts and the law. Well, did they? We're going to talk about that today. I've asked Bruce to join me. He's a former prosecutor, former FBI agent, and he has a few things to say, and so do I. We're going to do our best to rein in our emotions and to just give you what we believe are the facts, and also just how we should be thinking about this. I would tell you that the ground has moved beneath our feet. You may not realize it yet, but it has, and I'm going to lay out why we must sit up, listen, and take some action. Okay, so we'll do that in just a second. Well, finally, at least in one circumstance, the left is being honest. Bill Maher admits that killing a baby is murder, but he's okay with it. Really? In the Old Testament, the term Valley of Slaughter refers to the location where children were sacrificed, and here we are again. How do we stop this madness? Preborn is leading the charge in this nation to put an end to this atrocity. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies, which is truly amazing. But by the time this message is done, two more babies will be sacrificed in the Valley of Slaughter. By sponsoring free ultrasounds for women with unplanned pregnancies, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you want to help heal our land and save these babies' lives, please give generously to Preborn. $28 could be the difference between life and death. And join the fight. You can sponsor 1, 2, or 3, or 200 ultrasounds, depending on what you can afford. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. You know, we can get something right, and we can still fight, and this is a way to do it. It's by supporting something that's really outside the political system that actually does save babies' lives and reach women for just redemption in this situation. It's preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, after today's show, I think you'll have some things to say. So you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms that you like and that you use. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. If you're not used to podcast platforms, that would be Spotify and Amazon and Apple, wherever you listen. And AFR.net is home base. That's American Family Radio. We're in their podcast section. Or you can go to sandyreels.com and listen to it very, very easily if that's something you're not accustomed to doing. All right, well, this is a really important show. This is a show I wasn't planning on doing. But it happened suddenly, and I felt I just cannot let this day go by without us talking about it. I wish we could open the phone lines like we used to when I did a live show. But Bruce and I want to do our best to bring you some information you may or may not know and give you some perspective. And maybe today we can, with God's help, come about some wise decision about what steps we should take next on today's edition of Sandy Rios, 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Trial by a conflicted judge who is corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent, and I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting, we'll fight till the end, and we'll win. Because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one. With a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was President Trump right after the verdict. I have to tell you, I want you to understand, this is my goal. By the time Bruce and I start talking, or finish talking today, I want you to understand how serious this is. You know, the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, I think there were people, it was a Sunday morning, probably people were in church or they were doing various things, but many of them, most of them, it didn't affect their lives unless they were in Hawaii. Yeah, it's bad news, but nothing has really changed yet. We're going to go out for breakfast, whatever we're going to do for the day. Wherever you were when 9/11 happened, I, of course, was overseas. I've told you that. It didn't affect me personally. It didn't affect most people in this country. It affected New Yorkers and people in Pennsylvania. But it was a pivotal event, as was the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the attack on Pearl Harbor. I want you to understand what happened yesterday. It's yesterday as we're speaking. This conviction of Donald Trump on 34 counts, claiming 34 felonies, guilty of 34 felonies, is a game changer, is a ground shaker, is something that will affect each and every one of us. And I hope by the time we finish, you'll understand why. All right, so Alvin Bragg is the Manhattan District Attorney. And you heard him say, in the dry opening, I did my job. Our job is to follow the facts and the law without fear or favor. The only voice that matters is the voice of the jury, and the jury has spoken. And then he said, while this defendant may be unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes to the courtroom doors, by following the facts and the law and doing so without fear or favor. All right, let me jump in to say that Alvin Bragg was a George Soros-appointed, elected prosecutor. You do know what that means, right? George Soros is a Hungarian, now American, a billionaire who hates his country. He spends millions, billions of dollars to do everything he can to undermine and destroy it. And so a few years ago, he decided he would try to get these prosecutors elected in various cities. Some of us wondered, well, what's he up to? Well, now we can see exactly what he's up to. So President Trump has been charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. They're counting each of those as felonies. Some of us may not understand that, but I know my husband does. So I've asked him to join us. Honey, thanks for joining me. What do you think about what's happened just now?
Well, I think you're seeing a complete shift in the way the judicial system is now open to be used in the United States. You know, in the past, you've heard of people, especially big companies or insurance companies, that are able to sue someone into submission because they have more money than a private citizen, more resources at their that they can use to come after you. Well, that's one thing to go after somebody civilly, but now we're seeing that this same theory has been transformed into the criminal law part of our judicial system. And it's like if you get in the way of the administration and go against what they are, you know, you try to go against their agenda, they will come after you criminally. They will send the entire weight of, in this case, it was the New York district attorney. But you have to understand that it wasn't just the New York district attorney. People were sent from the Department of Justice, the federal Department of Justice, to assist in this prosecution.
Yeah, well, that brings us to, I can pause for a second and talk about President Biden, his part in this. There was an interesting interaction between Alina Haba and Shannon Bream, and this was from Fox, and I'm playing it for a reason, because I heard Brett Baer actually say yesterday, well, can you really connect the dots between Joe Biden and this prosecution? You can't really, can you? And so in the same vein, this was the interaction. Let's listen, clip 7.
This is exactly a Biden show because he's got to distract the American people. Listen,
but the Biden administration's not responsible for this trial.
How can you say the Biden administration's not responsible for this trial?
It's a state trial. It's Alvin Bragg. Whether you think there's a political motive for him, it's not connected to the DOJ. I mean,
Shannon,
the feds passed on these election charges.
Shannon, you should look at how many logs they have of state officials, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, visiting the White House, and then tell me that this is not a Biden trial.
All right. So and there's a follow up to that. Yeah, Shannon did the same thing as Brent. Like, there can't be a connection. This is just New York. Alina gave a bit of a pushback, but I'm going to give another pushback. The New York Times on April 2nd of 2022 published an article saying that Joe Biden was not happy with the way Merrick Garland was not coming after Trump as aggressively enough. They did a whole article on that. November the 9th, Joe Biden came out and made a statement. This is clip 8.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
Think about that. He's not involved in this? Bruce, you want to comment on that?
That comment to me by Joe Biden is absolutely chilling. That was made like 2 years ago. See, this is the thing. And I'm a little disappointed in Shannon Bream, who is a friend of ours, but you have to look at this for what it is. This was a scheme that was started over 2 years ago when it became apparent that Donald Trump would probably run for president again. And so what happened? They started convening these grand juries. They started resurrecting these cases. You know, you talked about the charges in this case in New York. These were basically accounting entries as to when a hush money payment was made by an attorney, Michael Cohen, on behalf of President Trump. And the entries were made as legal fees. Well, that's what they are. Trump was paying his lawyer to intervene in a frivolous lawsuit that Stormy Daniels was threatening to file. Now, Trump did that because it would have made him look bad as he ran for president. Now, this Justice Department and this district attorney's office has twisted that into, no, this was an attempt to rig the 2016 election. How in the world do you say an accounting entry was done in order to rig the 2016 election? And that's the basis of this case.
Yes, and of course, his attorney was the one who labeled it a legal issue. And as I understand it, that's perfectly legal. Michael Cohen was President Trump's attorney during that time when Stormy Daniels threatened to bring, you know, she was going to sell her story to the National Enquirer and of an alleged affair with Donald Trump. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to stop here to say Donald Trump was a playboy billionaire. So we don't know what he did with Stormy Daniels, but I will tell you that there is a signed letter from Stormy Daniels years ago. This has been going on since, was it 2007? Something like that. 2007, she's accusing him. There's a letter written by her, signed by her, that says nothing happened, that there was no sexual contact. She wrote this letter years ago. And we also know that there's another former prosecutor in New York named Costello. Costello was a prosecutor who defended and worked for Michael Cohen for some time. And he testified, they brought him in to testify, because I've heard him say this on television, that Michael Cohen, while he was representing him, he asked Michael point blank, do you have anything, just tell me, bottom line, do you have hard evidence against President Trump on this issue? And Michael Cohen's response was, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. So the defense brought him in to testify. And what happened, we're going to get to Juan Marchand in just a second, but I'll just drop in to say that as soon as Costello started testifying, and as soon as he started saying that, the judge just blew up, had a fit, cleared the courtroom of everyone, including the jury, and then yelled at this Costello. So it never went on the record. Costello's statement that Michael Cohen told him as his attorney, Michael Cohen's attorney, that he didn't have anything on Donald Trump. So now that's part of this story. And this Stormy Daniels thing, of course, is what they pulled out because it's salacious. She testified, I don't know for how long, about all the details of her supposed encounter with him. And we've talked about this when it happened. She remembered like every single detail, like what kind of soap. This is like back again in 2006. What kind of soap and shampoo were in the bathroom? It was kind of ridiculous. And she couldn't even remember what hotel she was staying in, even though it was only 250 yards away. But, of course, this is the story that they trotted out to defame the president. Bruce, was it connected in the case? I mean, how could they bring that into their evidence?
No, you know, let's go back to when Alvin Bragg spoke about what an incredible job they had done and how it was just the evidence and the law alone that was followed. I'll tell you, there was so much impropriety done in this case. There's only certain evidence that's what we call relevant evidence, and that's admitted into the trial. This case was brought on whether or not a business record was falsified. So what did the prosecution do? They brought in Stormy Daniels. Not to say that a business record was falsified. She was brought in to paint Donald Trump as a sleazeball and get the jury not to like him.
Yeah.
And this
is that
one
normally allowed, honey?
No. This would never be allowed. And in fact, as an attorney, the judge would probably warn you: you do one more thing like that, and I'll throw you off this case. This judge committed so many reversible errors. And that's, again, why I have to emphasize to you that this whole prosecution is nothing more than a part of a plan to keep Donald Trump out of this election race. Any judge worth his salt would know that reversible error after reversible error was made in this trial, and that was done purposely, and it was done to ensure that there would be a conviction. And they don't care, they being the left, they don't care if this case is eventually overturned on appeal. That'll probably be 2 years from now. Well, the election will be long over, and Donald Trump's career may very well have been ruined by then.
First, we talked about Alvin Bragg a little bit. I want to talk about Judge Marchand. I'm going to give a little background here, if I could, and then let's talk about his behavior in the courtroom, because I think that's very important. One of the big problems with Marchand was the conflict he had with his daughter. President Trump mentioned this on some tweets. Why is that a conflict? And should President Trump be talking about his daughter? Well, yes. In a case like this, her name is Lauren Mershon. She has raised $93 million for Democratic candidates on this very trial. She is a political operative, runs this huge company, $93 million on the trial her dad is conducting over President Trump. That's a huge conflict of interest. And Bruce, I'm assuming that would not normally. He should be. Is that so egregious that someone should have stepped in?
Yes. And you have to understand the standard for recusing a judge is not only an actual conflict, but even the appearance of a conflict of interest. And in this case, we have so many conflicts of interest. The one you mentioned about Judge Mershon's daughter. We also have the fact that Judge Mershon donated to several Democratic organizations. One's called Stop Republicans. That is not allowed as a judge. And he was disciplined for this by, I believe, not the Bar Association, but the Judicial Review Committee. But yet, no problem. You can sit on the case. The other thing that is amazing to me about this is I understand that Judge Mershon normally sits, say, like in family court, civil court. He does not handle criminal cases. So who do they give the biggest criminal case that will probably ever come in front of this this jurisdiction, other than maybe potential murders or things like that, but they give it to Judge Mershon. Now, I don't think that's an accident.
Of course it isn't. Just part of the picture here. I want to go back to the timeline here, Bruce, just for a second, before we go back into the courtroom and talk about some of the things that happened in the courtroom. I mentioned already the New York Times article came out on April 2nd of 2022, claiming that President Biden was upset with the Attorney General for not hurrying more in his prosecutions of President Trump. And then on November the 9th, I want to replay this. This is what Biden said on November the 9th. It's so bad, I want you to hear it again. It's clip 8.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
What legitimate efforts is the President Biden going to use to remove his opponent? Well, we just saw how legitimate they were. Now, Donald Trump then, that was November 9th. Donald Trump declares for president on November the 15th. And guess what, sweetheart? On November the 18th, Jack Smith is appointed by Merrick Garland to be the special counsel. And that leads to Alvin Bragg. That leads to Fannie Willis and the cases in Arizona. This is how it all started. So that's the legal means, of course, according to Biden. That's the constitutional means by which they'll make sure he never serves as president.
You know, the irony here is, to me, is just amazing. You know, you go back to when this administration was trying to withdraw our country from Afghanistan, and it was a complete debacle. Not thought through for a second. Just, we're out, we're leaving. Then you look at how this was planned. This was a surgically performed operation 2 years in the making or more, and they have covered every base, the jurisdiction, the jury pool, the judge, the bringing in the irrelevant witnesses that the prosecution knew would be allowed by this judge. I mean, this thing has really been laid out, and were it not for the judge down in Florida who is stopping some of this stuff going on in Florida, President Trump would be right back in the same situation probably next week.
That's right. This is the one with the classified files he supposedly took. Do you know, I just saw Julie Kelly just reported, Bruce, that the FBI took pictures of Melania's bedroom while they were in there. We know that they went into her bedroom and they went into Barron's bedroom, which they had no business doing. They went through all of his things and all of her things, even her underwear drawer. That's how egregious. But they've got a good judge. You're right. So that makes all the difference in the world on that. But Bruce, let's go back to the courtroom. Give people an idea. I'm not sure how closely they were following it. Give them an idea of how egregious the behavior was in that courtroom.
Well, when you look at that statement that Alvin Bragg made after the prosecution was over, talking about the integrity, you know, that they used in this. Really? And that this was like any other conviction, any other prosecution, they just followed the thing. Really? Huh. I've never heard of criminal prosecutions where there is a gag order put on a defendant that he cannot even talk about what's going on in the case. Anyone else can say anything they want about him, but he is not allowed to talk. I've also not seen where a judge basically altered the standard of proof that had to be shown for a conviction. I've never seen a judge alter jury instructions the way this one did, making it not so onerous for the prosecution to get a conviction. I don't know that the DA office there in New York normally brings in people from the Department of Justice to run an investigation. I don't know that they normally go and have meetings in Washington, D.C., in the White House with other prosecutors and with the Department of Justice to discuss how they're going to handle a case. I don't know that they normally use a serial convicted liar like Michael Cohen as their star witness. If that's their usual MO on how they handle cases, then Alvin Bragg needs to be removed yesterday from that office.
Okay, so to drill down, Bruce, you prosecuted things in Cook County. That's Chicago. So did you not tell me at one point it's usually criminals who is gagged? How's the gag order used normally?
Well, normally there are no gag orders. I mean, most people are allowed to say what they want. But as a prosecution, whether you be a police officer or a prosecutor himself, we do not make very many comments about cases because that can taint a potential juror. It can compromise the it can taint the actual charge that you bring against someone. Basically, we are to be seen and not heard before the trial. The defendant, on the other hand, look, his liberty is at stake. He is allowed to comment about anything other than threatening people. Obviously, you cannot have people allowed to threaten, say, witnesses or other defendants. But in this case, Donald Trump was told he could not even talk about the judge's daughter, the people in the courtroom, the witnesses. No one liked that. Whereas any other defendant I've ever seen has had that right, again, short of threatening someone.
Now, Bruce, on the jury instructions, our law in general states that it must be unanimous verdict. But this Juan Marchand, the judge, as I understand it, the instructions he gave the jury, there are 34 felony counts. And he said to them, basically, you don't have to all agree on what counts you think he's guilty of. Just you have to find him guilty on something here, and then all 12 of you have to agree that he's guilty for something, but not all the same thing, right?
That's what's coming out of the courtroom, that was the basically...
Have you ever heard of that?
I've never heard of that. Proof in a criminal case is proof beyond a reasonable doubt as to each part of a charge. You can't just lump one in like... Well, we know he stole that car, but he's accused of stealing another car, so surely he's got to be guilty of that too because, you know, he's got a record, he's got a history of it. That's basically what it was. Guilt by association. If you think Donald Trump did anything wrong in this whole scheme, whether the accounting entry was made wrong or he should not have paid Stormy Daniels, it wasn't about did he falsify a business record, which is what the charge was. It's about if you think Donald Trump did anything wrong, basically underhanded, you can find him guilty of all of this.
And bring in Stormy Daniels so that women could get offended and they would think he's a misogynist. He deserves to be guilty, even though it has nothing to do with that. In fact, the statute of limitations is up on that particular. That's a whole other issue, isn't it?
Not related. This whole case was based on something that happened 8 years ago or more, and the statute of limitations usually is 2 years. And so this is how this ever got resurrected is beyond me. And you have to remember that these facts were reviewed by, I believe, three different prosecutors, one of them being the Federal Election Committee, who, if any of this was an election violation— or an attempt to circumvent an election, they should have had jurisdiction over this. Well, they reviewed it, and they said there's no case here that we can prosecute, and well, walked away from it.
That's actually the charge that they ended up, I think, as I understand it, that's one of the charges. And this is a big contention right now that people are making. Just to be clear, any kind of election interference crime like that on a federal election for a president of the United States should be a federal court. It should not be a local court if that's the, you know, if that's an issue.
It stinks in so many different ways. It really is a railroad job. And I know a lot of people, they get tired of President Trump coming out and saying, this is a rigged game. This is, you know, this is disgraceful. But you know what? It is. And you may get tired that he uses those words all the time. But if you look at this, this is nothing more than election interference. This was made to either lock up Donald Trump and keep him off the campaign trail, or to denigrate his character so much. You think about your neighbors. I'm telling you, this is the time when we need, if you are a supporter of President Trump, or if you are not a supporter of him, but you believe in the rule of law, this is the time that people have to remain strong. Because I'm telling you, you're going to get a bunch of weak-kneed people now, and they're going to say, well, you know, he's a convicted felon. I don't know if I can vote for him. People, that's exactly what this was designed to do.
Yeah, and I also, just to add, that they kept him in the courtroom for 6 weeks, 8 hours a day, up to 8 hours a day. He couldn't get out, couldn't talk. Of course, if he got out, he's an amazing person, because he goes out, he speaks in the Bronx, and he has these rallies where hundreds of, well, thousands of people came to hear him. That's pretty amazing. And just to your point, Bruce, I want to make the point a little bit better later as we're talking. It does matter. To me, I am furious about what they've done to Donald Trump. This is so unfair, unjust. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for his family. But it's so much wider. The implications are so much broader for all of us. That's what I want any of you who hate Donald Trump or don't like him, you don't like his tweets, you don't like the way he talks, you don't like the icky stuff about Stormy Daniels, whatever the facts are, you have to like just feel like you need to do what my mom used to do with me when I didn't. Sometimes she would slap me, like, wake up, because this is a pivotal moment for our country. If Donald Trump cannot get justice in court, do you really think that you can? Do you really think, if they know you're a Republican, if they know that you're a Christian, if they know you're a pro-lifer, if they know that you believe you have guns and you believe in the Second Amendment, what kind of treatment do you think you're going to get?
Sandy, this whole thing is going to it'll have an effect like January 6th did. You notice you don't see these rallies anymore down at the Capitol like, you know, we've witnessed when we lived there. This is what's going to happen on the judicial system. First off, people that are on juries now, they're going to be intimidated, because I'll guarantee you every person sitting on that jury knew, you know, if we don't find this guy guilty, our names are going to be doxxed. Everyone's going to know where we live. People are going to come after us. We have to toe the line here. And then you throw in that it's getting harder and harder for people that are conservatives to hire legal representation. I'll tell you, I was not in the courtroom, so I cannot tell you that Todd Blanche, who represented President Trump, didn't do a good job. But I will say this, the interviews I've seen with him and what I've heard about what went on in the courtroom, I don't know if he did a great job. And I'm not blaming him. This is not really the kind of case he normally handles. But that'll show you, if someone like Donald Trump cannot retain the best of the best to represent him, what is someone like you and me going to do?
Well, the danger to, like, John Eastman, the danger to Jeff Clark. I mean, these guys are in danger of losing their licenses. And I can tell you, attorneys all over are taking note. They already have been. They've been silent on this. The Federalist Society has gone underground, not defending President Trump. The American Bar Association, where are they on this? Because this is a travesty of justice. Bruce, yesterday there was a Newsmax reporter who came out. She was in the courtroom when the verdict came. It's really interesting. She describes what happened. Let's listen to clip 10.
Greg, I mean, you said the perfect word, intense. It was so intense. We were not expecting a verdict to come down today. I mean, the jurors only deliberated for a day and a half. The judge was telling them he was getting ready to wrap them up, to send them home. They sent back a note and said, no, 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 give us 30 more minutes. We have a verdict. We just have to fill out the paperwork. When they walked back into the courthouse or the courtroom, every single eye was on them. People were on the edge of their seat. I was physically shaking with excitement, ready to hear their verdict, anticipation. And then it came down. The foreperson stood up. His voice sounded a bit tentative, like he was a bit unsure giving this verdict. He went through them one by one, guilty, guilty, guilty for 34 counts. And then the judge, right before he dismissed the jurors, said something to them that really stuck with me. He said, you are now free to talk about this trial to whomever you want. Free to talk about what went on behind closed doors when the jury was deliberating. Donald Trump, when he stood up, he didn't even look surprised. I mean, he's been saying for weeks, you know, this is a very blue city. This is a very blue jury. He stood up. He looked at his son, kind of extended a hand, shook his head a little bit, but didn't look surprised. He looked upset, a little angry, but not surprised as he walked out of the courtroom, followed by his entourage. We know now that sentencing is scheduled for July 11th. We also know that when the defense brought up the potential for prison time in their summation, the judge got very upset about that, but it now is in his hands and his hands alone. What will happen to the former president?
All right, that's Christina Thompson from Newsmax, and I just thought that was pretty incredible. His attorney, I heard him last night, Todd Blanche, talking about how amazing President Trump was during this trial. We know he's an amazing person. We've seen that. I'm not sure who else could take this kind of abuse and still stay strong. I'm not sure. Let's take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about the repercussions for you and for me. I think it's very important because the question is, what now? We'll talk about that right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, speaking of President Trump, the reason we were able to overturn Roe versus Wade, the court was, is because President Donald Trump appointed three pro-life judges. You can never take that away from him. And we would not be in the same position if that hadn't happened. Well, now, of course, because of that, there are all kinds of rumblings in the states. The left is trying to do state issues, state initiatives, additions to the constitutions in the states to allow abortion for all 9 months. And they're having success in many, many states. We'll be talking about that. Really, the last line of defense, from my perspective, on the issue of abortion is getting to the moms. Is telling the moms, showing the moms their babies in utero. And when preborn does that, mothers change their minds. Yeah, over 50% of them do, and sometimes higher percentages than that. And so this is not a waste of your time or your money. This is a real thing that happens to real people. And preborn is the entity that makes that possible. So if you'd like to help today, still, while we still can, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
Thank you for joining us here today. Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts.
This case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years to try to come up with this case. They're just wrong on the law.
The only crime that Donald Trump is being prosecuted for is the crime of running for president.
Political persecution at the highest level.
They've quite frankly given up on trying to beat him at the polls. Either going to steal it or stop it by law firm.
A Democrat prosecutor elected on a Get Trump platform.
What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party. And it is a war on the Republic.
This case is the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of teaching, practicing, and writing about criminal law.
And I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump.
This judge, I mean, you don't need a prosecutor if you have a judge like this. This judge is not on the level.
It's a terrible case, but the judge has been pretty much a rubber stamp on everything that Bragg has wanted to do.
They're perverting the system of justice. You know, that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
This is the Democrats' entire strategy, to confine President Trump to a dirty criminal courtroom and keep him off the campaign trail where he can bring his winning message to voters across this country.
New York has become a legal banana republic. They are so determined to get Donald Trump.
Look, convicting Donald Trump, that's all they have.
I think they have no cards. And they're depending upon Trump getting convicted.
That Trump train doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
The only verdict that matters is the verdict at the ballot box.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you with my sweetheart, Bruce. We're both pretty sad about this, I have to tell you. Not sad, not just for Donald Trump, which we're plenty sad about that, but sad for our country, recognizing what this means. If you want to know what's happening politically as a result of this, well, the Biden-Harris campaign, by the way, that was a campaign ad that's running after the verdict for President Trump. The Biden-Harris campaign is also fundraising. They sent a text message to their supporters right after the verdict saying, despite a jury finding Donald Trump guilty today, there is still only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box. Convicted felon or not, Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. But there is one other certainty. As you read this, Donald Trump supporters are fired up and likely setting fundraising records for his campaign. That's money he will use to try to get back into the White House to carry out his threats of revenge and retribution against his political opponents. All right, so that's the cat that's calling the kettle black. I mean, really, that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, they say all these things like he's going to destroy democracy. He's going to become a dictator. I've never heard such outrageous hyperbole, Bruce.
Yeah, the two phrases you always hear now is a threat to democracy and no one is above the law. And, you know, you think about Hunter Biden, he's plenty above the law. You think of Joe Biden and his family, they're plenty above the law. Threats to democracy, I would say allowing Iran to get a nuclear weapon, allowing unlimited immigration into this country, those are the kind of things that are a threat to democracy.
Absolutely. In terms of response, actually several Republicans are weighing in. I don't know. I mean, while we're talking, I'm sure there are a lot of responses this morning. The Freedom Caucus is certainly weighing in. Speaker Mike Johnson is weighing in. Mike Lee, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Tom Cotton. Of course, the leaders of the party, like Mitch McConnell, must be taking a nap, you know, because he's not commenting. Ron DeSantis gave a really strong response to it. He says today's verdict represents the culmination of a legal process that has been bent to the political will of the actors involved, a leftist prosecutor, a partisan judge, and a jury reflective of one of the most liberal enclaves in America, all in an effort to get Donald Trump. That's just part of it. All right, Bruce, what do you think is going to happen with President Trump? He's free now, right?
He's free. He's still on bond. It's his own personal recognizance. He does not have money up. But I hear all kinds of people saying they don't think that this judge will have the guts to throw Donald Trump in jail. I couldn't disagree more. I think that based upon what we just heard, that the polls are reflecting that even with a conviction, Donald Trump is not falling down in the polls. Why would you go to all this trouble to orchestrate this persecution of Donald Trump and not follow it right to the end? And one way or another, Donald Trump, they're going to try to keep him off the campaign trail. Now, whether that be actually imprisoning him, or I think what might be more of an option that's going to be viable is that they will put Donald Trump into home confinement. He will be put on some kind of supervised probation where, when you're on probation, you are subject to losing your Fourth Amendment rights. In other words, probation officers can come and search your home at any time for anything. You have to get permission to travel. You have to get permission to leave the jurisdiction. Yeah. They can put all kinds of restrictions on who you can associate with, what your social media is. I mean, to me, that's the play that Mershon will probably use, is say, look, I didn't throw him in jail, but basically he will de facto be in jail because The probation department will probably restrict his restrict President Trump's travel. He won't be able to go out when he wants to. They'll probably restrict his ability to campaign via social media. They're just going to make it so hard for President Trump to get out there. And, you know, I think this is going to possibly affect the debates because Joe Biden, I think he's going to take one or two tacks. He's either going to say, I'm not going to debate that convicted felon. I won't give him the platitude to be on a stage with me. Or if they actually do debate, that's going to be the only thing you hear out of Biden's mouth. Every time he opens his mouth, it'll be, well, you're a convicted felon.
Yeah.
And that'll be his go-to card. And everyone will go, wow, wasn't he great? He really put it to Trump.
And if you think there isn't some strategy here, Juan Merchan is not giving the sentence until 4 days before the Republican convention in Milwaukee. So it really is a conspiracy. Yet another. There are so many now. I want to talk for a second, Bruce, about how this it can affect all of us, and that's the point I want to make next. I want to do it by playing a clip. Now I this next thing gives you an idea. Remember President Trump always said, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. He said that over and over again. So I want to make the case that he's right about that. Let's listen to clip six.
There's a clear and present danger. Democrats painting a damning picture of a lawless president.
Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our country.
A Donald Trump, who's likely the GOP nominee, is a clear and present danger.
Donald Trump and his allies and supporters are a clear and present danger to American democracy.
All right, well, that was the voice of Judge Michael Luttig, who used to be a strong conservative but became a never-Trumper. So it's all of us. We are a clear and present danger. And what that means, I guess the exact definition of that, is that because you and I and President Trump are a clear and present danger, we will forfeit some of our rights. In order to put us in check to make sure that we don't do all of this harm, we can lose our constitutional rights and our freedoms. Okay, so there's that. And then this morning, I just want to bring a couple of things. A couple of stories came to my mind this morning. Now, just stay with me for a second. The first story is about the USA Today refused to publish an op-ed from Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. It was on transgenderism, and they just decided that they would not publish it. That's USA Today. Oh, and then here's another one. Orange juice. The prices of orange juice have skyrocketed. So you may not be able to afford it. That's just orange juice. It's not about meat or anything else. Then there's a story here. In Chicago, a woman, there's a video of it. She steals a policeman's car. She runs him, drags him along as he's trying to hang on to the door. She goes on this wild ride, and now she's been released by Judge Tyra Walton in Chicago. And not only that, she was just hired as a lead accountant at the city's Department of Family and Support Services. So this is the justice that we're seeing. It happened in Chicago. And then last but not least, just as an illustration here, Paul Sperry just wrote this morning that a National Security Council official who formerly ran the Mideast desk in the White House is warning everyone that Biden is out to destroy Israel. He's not just trying to topple Netanyahu. In his pursuit and embrace of Tehran and the radical Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. Why do I tell you those stories? Because to put it in another way, this is what someone else has put it, they destroyed our immigration system, they destroyed our election system, they destroyed our justice system. Are we paying attention yet? Prices, Israel, our freedoms, crime in the streets, illegal immigrants draining the economy. You are going to feel what happened yesterday to President Trump with such force when it hits. And I want you to understand this is not just about him. This is about our freedoms, our freedom of speech, our freedom as Americans, our money, our right to our own money, our right to our own property. You haven't seen anything yet. If you think President Biden has been like awful, you kind of get the picture on that. You haven't seen anything. If President Trump is denied the ability to run or he's hampered and he does not win, you haven't seen anything like what's coming at us next.
I concur with you, honey, because you think about the only thing that has probably restrained the left to this point has been the threat that Donald Trump will come back to the presidency, and then all the bodies, all the evidence will be there for him to discover, going way back to the Russia collusion, all the things that the election in 2016 involved with Hillary Clinton, where she tried to steal the election, all the things in the 2020 election where they stole the election, the Biden camp. Now, think about this. If Donald Trump is put in prison, or if he is restrained in so many ways that he cannot stand in the breach anymore, well, then the firewall is down. And now we're on the line with what can happen. And like you said earlier, you know, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. I'm not saying we'd want to all go to lunch with him every day, but that's not the point. The point is you have a choice now. There couldn't be a more defined choice going forward. And you talk about threats to democracy. I cringe when I hear the Democrats say that.
Yeah.
That is like insert laugh track.
You know, I want to actually play another clip just to remind people of what we're up against. Because this was a speech, part of a speech that Biden gave, I think, in Pennsylvania when there was these soldiers behind him and it was cast in red. His face looked red. And he sounded like an dictator, having been to these other countries, all these communist countries, and lived the way I've lived. This is the way they talk. This is what they do. And I want you to understand how he feels about you, remembering while we play this, the Justice Department is coming after Catholic pro-life people in general. They're coming after parents who are complaining at school boards about their kids, their girls having to shower with men. In fact, the Biden administration just overruled and changed the definition in Title IX of what sex is. Title IX, the provision that was going to make sure women could compete in sports just like men. Now they've changed the wording so that all those parents that protested in school board meetings and schools around the country, guess what? The Biden administration has just decided that you can't do anything. It means nothing to them because they've decided now that transgenders can enter any women's sport. They can compete. They can share locker rooms, bathrooms. They can go on trips and sleep with girls in the rooms. There is no protection, none whatsoever. They're pushing abortion for all 9 months. This is what we're facing. But I want you to hear your president, who thinks so much of you. This is what he said, clip 9.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Yep, so the FBI is acting on that, and here we are. Well, it's time to sort of bring God's perspective into this. And what is God's perspective? You know, I was just reading yesterday the last chapter of Mark, or not the last chapter, but Jesus' last admonitions to his disciples when he's talking about the end of time, and he tells them to watch, to be aware, to take action. He doesn't tell them, oh, just go about your business and don't worry about it. He never says that. He never says that. We have to watch and be vigilant and be ready to defend our families and be ready to do whatever we have to do. We may have to run. We may have to flee. We may have to, I don't know what, but we have to watch, and that's what we're doing now. Honey, you had something there that you thought was, you'd like to read.
Yes. I keep the Jesus calling. It's like a flip thing for each, a daily. It's not a devotional. It's just a reading. And today's, I thought, was very applicable, given the sadness and really the danger, I think, that we're facing. We have to keep it in perspective, keep it in God's perspective, and here's what it says. The peace that I give you transcends your intellect. When most of your mental energy goes into efforts to figure things out, you are unable to receive this glorious gift. I look into your mind and see thoughts spinning round and round, going nowhere, accomplishing nothing. All the while, my peace hovers over you, searching for a place to land. Be still in my presence, inviting me to control your thoughts. Let my light soak into your mind and heart until you are aglow with my very being. This is the most effective way to receive my peace.
That's beautiful, honey. And I would just add to clarify that peace, the peace that comes from God, is inexplicable, but it doesn't translate to inaction. You can be very much at peace within. I feel it took me years to get to this point, and I may lose it again this week. But there's this trust of God that you learn through the years and decades of serving Him. There's a peace. There's this, like, an inward peace, even though the world around you is shaking. And so that's what I think Jesus wants for us. But He doesn't admonish us to do nothing. He says, be vigilant and watch. And so let's do that and pray as we go that God will give us wisdom on how we should respond to what's just happened in our country. Honey, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for caring. I'm so grateful God brought you into my life, someone who cares as much as I do, even while we might drive each other crazy with our care. But no, I just appreciate it.
Well, we all need to care. Yep. Because I know often we say, this is important. Well, believe me, this is important.
All right, so I really appreciate you listening to today's edition. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can go to sandyrios.com to listen to the podcast, or certainly afr.net, which is our home base, or any podcast platform. Prayerfully, we say, in fact, before we leave, I'm going to pray, Father, how we need you. We always do. Sometimes we feel it more urgently than other times. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Help us to be aware and vigilant, and then help us to know how to act. Father, we ask you for your mercy, your wisdom, and all of these things for ourselves, our families, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, have mercy as we enter a new phase. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.